Well, it's good to see everybody out this evening. Good crowd, and welcome everybody that's listening online. If you want to turn with me this evening to Psalms chapter 19 and verse number 12. We'll get right into God's Word this evening. Psalms chapter 19 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." And if you'll flip over to Proverbs chapter 16 this evening. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 2. "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." Let's pray this evening. God, I just want to thank you for allowing us to be in your house again tonight, Lord. I want to ask God, especially tonight, for your presence in this service, Lord. God, I ask for your power and your anointing as I try to preach your word, Lord. God, I ask for clarity of speech, and Lord, I ask that you'll give me the words to say and that your blessing will be on this service this evening, Lord. God, I just pray that you'll take me out of the way, Lord, that this is your message and your word that you got for us tonight, Lord. God, I just ask you to bless it and to be with us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're still in Proverbs, if you'll turn over to chapter number 30, just a few pages over, you'll get into the message. Try to just do what the Lord has us to do this evening. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 11. Still hear a few pages turning. I want everybody to get there. Verse number 11, Proverbs chapter 30. The Bible says, "There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, and devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men." I'd say to us tonight that we're living in this generation. We're living in a generation today, an evil generation, where godlessness is promoted and praised. We're living in a generation where men's minds are reprobate. Vile filth is called upon to be accepted and promoted instead of being hidden and shameful. We're living in a generation tonight that they seek to attack and to destroy anyone who will expose their lies or promote truth or righteousness. The generation in this land, in this world that we're seeing, they take everything that God calls right and they turn it upside down and they say it's evil.
Right.
We're living in a generation where we've got transgenders in the White House on the secretaries in the cabinet there.
Right.
Awful, pitiful. Yeah. It's shameful.
Right.
And it's a reproach on this land. Not to mention anything, I mean, just one thing after another, and I don't want to get into that this evening, but the generation that we're living in tonight is evil. As God's Bible, as the Word says there. And in Leviticus chapter 10, and verse number 10 and 11, if you want to turn there this evening, the book of Leviticus talks, there's a lot about God's law there given out in Leviticus. God's law on health and sickness and personal hygiene, how to deal with it. But in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse number 10 and 11, the Lord speaking to Aaron here says, and that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." I want to tell you the title of our message this evening is "Fetch Some Water, Some Wash Water." Fetch some wash water. I want to put a subtitle on there, "Wash Behind Your Ears." Okay? How many of you, I want to do a little, let's do real quick. How many of you, when you was little, maybe it still happens, I don't know. Did your mama wash behind your ears? Yeah, and she washed inside your ears. My mama used to get out the washcloth, and she would get it wet. Sometimes it was warm, sometimes it was cold, but it felt like a piece of sandpaper on your face. And she would scrub your face down until it was red. When it was red, that meant it was clean. Is that right? My mama's here, and she's nodding her head. That's the way she did it. And she would wash your face with that washcloth. My wife, every once in a while, she's going to say to me, she said, "Go get a washcloth. I got to wash somebody's hands. One of the little ones, they've got sticky on them, or they've got dirty, or whatever it is. And we're going to wash them up." And so the title of my message this evening is "Fetch Some Wash Water." Go fetch some wash water. Like I said in the book of Leviticus, there's God's law on health and personal hygiene and sickness and how to deal with it. Over the past year, we've all dealt with what the government is calling a pandemic. How the experts say we should deal with it. They want us to have muzzles on. They want us to social distance and not shake hands with one another. Y'all are sitting way too close in here tonight, I can tell you that for sure. They want us to not be gathering together in the name of the Lord.
Right, right.
Out in California, they don't even want them to sing because they might spit a COVID on somebody if they're singing. That's the whole deal. That's why they didn't want them to sing. They might spit a COVID in somebody. They don't want you to get... We can't ride two people in a vehicle at my job. We've got to take two separate vehicles if we're going to go do something because one of us might accidentally sneeze on the other one. We've got to wear masks. We've got to keep the windows rolled down. We sit 6 foot apart while we're eating our dinner. We're not supposed to share our dinner. We're not supposed to have any kind of cooking together. I've got a smoker that I've got in our shop, and I like to put some stuff in that smoker every once in a while. Amen? I like to put some ribs in there and different things like that. If we're going to be working in the shop, there ain't no sense in going to McDonald's. We can go get ribs. Amen? But they don't want us doing that kind of stuff because it's dangerous. Dangerous. And I can agree with one thing that I've been hearing over the past year. Well, maybe two. Wash your hands. Okay? We just need to wash. Everybody needs to wash. And I hate that we have to tell people that. You know, it's a shame that the government has to come out and the health department has to come out. And all the health care professionals need to tell us, wash your hands. Okay? We tell little kids that. They understand it. They get it. Wash your hands. And I agree with that. We need to be cleanly. Cleanly. We need to be clean. We need to clean up. The Lord asks us, the Lord tells us and commands us that we need to stay clean. Talks about washing in Leviticus, as I said, talks about sickness, and it talks about how they had to go and wash, and they had to wash their garments, and they had to go and see the priest, and the priest would tell them whether they were clean or not, just like my mama used to do when I was a kid. She'd say, "Go wash," and I'd come to her, and she'd say, "You're not clean. You need to go wash again." And that's what the Lord said that we should be doing. And I guarantee you, I agree with that 100%. The rest of it's a bunch of baloney. Except for the 6 foot apart thing. I can understand why some people just need to stay 6 foot away from me. Okay? I agree with that. Every once in a while, you know, I like my wife to give me a hug. I like to love on my youngins. I like to shake hands with people. Everybody else, stay back. That's the way that needs to work. I'm not one of them close talkers. I don't like to get up and get right up close. I can have a few hearing problems, but if you speak up a little bit, you don't have to be quite so close. But I agree with that just a little bit. The Bible says that we need to wash. The Bible says that we need to be clean. There's one other thing that I wanted to talk about on this washing thing. You can overdo it. Okay? Whenever Caleb was born, he was in the intensive care unit for 5 weeks. Was it 5 weeks, honey? He was in 5 weeks in the intensive care unit. And when you go in and out of this neonatal intensive care unit, I know some of you's been there, they've got sinks when you come in the door. You don't go past that sink without washing your hands for 20 seconds, all the way up to the neck with the soap. And you're going to do that every time you come in and out of there. I don't care if somebody pages you outside the door and you step out there and say, what? When you come back in, you're going to scrub. And they want to do that to keep all the germs from the outside. I mean, there's sick children in there. There's people, these young babies in there that, you know, they're very susceptible to diseases, or germs can be just a horrible deal for them. And so I got my feel of washing in that 5 weeks. And I understood, I think my hands had never been that clean in my life. Even my wife was getting tired of washing, going in and out of there. But I had a man that worked for me one time. And when he first hired on, the man, he was a good worker. And I hadn't been out on the job site with him, but I asked one of my crew leaders one day, he'd just been a couple of weeks. I said, how's he working out? He said, he's doing a great job. He said, I don't know, but he said, I think he's got something wrong with him. He's got some kind of a health condition or something. I said, what are you talking about? He said, he goes bathroom more than any man I've ever seen in my life. He said, he's in the bathroom a lot. Every time we'd be doing a job, I turn around, he's gone. Well, he'd come out. I said, well, what do you think's wrong with him? As he said, I don't know. I said, is he just going in there and talking on the phone or looking on his Facebook? I mean, what's he doing? He said, no, he's not in there very long. He just goes in, he comes out. He said, I think he's got a health condition. I've been afraid to ask him about it. I don't know if we're even supposed to ask somebody if they've got a health problem. He said, but, that's just the deal. And I said, okay. So about 2 weeks later, I had him working in the building there in the shop with me. And we were doing some cleaning. We had this mezzanine up here that had a bunch of boxes and stuff up there. Been up there for several years, and we're going to clean it up, organize a little bit, get rid of some stuff. And I had him helping me. And he climbing up the ladder. I'm on top of the mezzanine. I hand him a box. He'd take it and set it down on the floor. And he'd set it down, and he'd go. And he'd look at his hands. And he'd go like this, and he's about to wipe them on his pants, and he'd look at his hands again, and then he'd turn around, and off towards the bathroom he'd go. And he would wash his hands. He'd come right back out, I'd hand him another box, and he'd put the box down on the floor, and he'd look at his hands. And after about three of these boxes, figured out what was going on. And he came back, and I said, listen, son, I said, you're going to have to get you a pair of gloves. We're here to work today, not to wash our hands. Yep. You can wash them this evening whenever you get home. You can wash them before lunch. But right now, I'm handing you boxes, and you better not disappear again until lunchtime. So you can't overdo it on the washing. Okay? I want to talk to us a little bit tonight about washing of salvation. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 22, the Bible says, for though thou wash thee with nitrate and with much soap, yet the iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? In Luke chapter 11 and verse 39, and the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward parts is full of ravening and wickedness. Salvation is not cleaning up. It's not saying, I'm going to do better. I'm going to live better. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit doping. I'm going to quit running around. That's not salvation. It's not quitting this. It's not living better. It's not trying to do better. It's not trying to go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. That's not salvation. It's not wearing a different set of clothes. It's not hanging out with a different set of people. It's not cleaning up your life. That is not salvation. You can never clean up enough to be saved. You can never wash enough to satisfy God's desires for you, which is heaven. You can't wash the sin off. You can't wash enough to become clean. Every time you go to show yourself to the high priest, God the Father, He's going to say you're still unclean. I don't care how much you wash. Salvation is a new birth. It's a whole new person. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 59, the Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Salvation is this tonight. Salvation is seeing your need for cleaning. Salvation is seeing your need for cleaning. Without the law to show you, without God showing you that you're sinning in your life and your need of a Savior, it's all a joke. You can try to clean up, you can try to be religious, you can try to do those things, but you first of all have to see your need. You have to have a need for a Savior. You have to have a guilt in your heart that you're guilty. You're a hell-deserving sinner. Then, trusting in Christ alone, Christ Jesus that was born of a virgin, He lived a sinless life worthy to be the one true sacrifice. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. Only then will you see your need of a Savior, and the washing of salvation can be poured down on you, Jesus Christ's blood. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9. "Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." I'm here to tell you tonight, not one of us. Not one of us. It's Jesus Christ alone. The second thing I want to talk about tonight is in the washing of salvation, but I want to talk about this evening the washing of the saved. In John chapter 13 and verse 10, Jesus saying to him, "Him that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all." Talking to his disciples there, and he was going to wash their feet. What Jesus was trying to tell us is that we're going in this old world. We're walking around. You've had the blood applied to your heart, and you're not needing to be cleaned throughout. The blood has been applied, but you are going to be in this world. Just because you're saved, don't mean you're sinless. Psalms chapter 51 and verse 2, David said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." In verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness and holiness." 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7, "For God hath not called us into uncleanness, but into holiness." James chapter 4 and verse 8, "Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Psalms chapter 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I asked you before, have you ever been told to wash? Have you ever been told to wash behind the ears? Have you ever been handed have a wet washcloth run over your face? Have you ever been, and there's another thing I didn't ask, have you ever been spit shined? I want to know how many people in here has been spit shined. Put your hands up. Some of you don't even know what that is. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's when you're a little bitty one and you come dragging in with the parents and mama sets you down and she's like, oh my word. How did he get out of here with cereal still on his face? And she looks around and she goes, and she gets it. That's happened. Now, how many of you have been spit shined? Okay, a few more. Have you ever had your mouth washed out? How many of you have ever had your mouth washed out with soap? I know more of you have than that. More of you should have had than that. That's when your mouth gets dirty. And there's some soap goes in there. It's hard to choke down. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God will expose areas in your life that you may not see. When I ask you, have you ever washed behind the ears? Or been told to wash behind the ears. I can't see behind my ears. I don't know if they're dirty back there or not. I wash them every day because mama told me to. And I learned that lesson. But I can't see that. I walked into the house the other day. I've been doing some cleaning up around the farm there. I've been pushing some brush over and cutting some sprouts. And I built me some fires, amen. There is some thorn trees on my farm. And the only way to purify that stuff is to send it back to hell where it came from. I light the fire up on them things. Amen. We're going to get rid of them. And I had been building me some fires out there. And me and Caleb, we were cutting some stuff. Dad even came over. He hates them things with a passion. And he wanted to take the chainsaw to them and the dozer to them. And anything that he could find, and he said, we got to get rid of them. He don't like them any more than I do. But he came over and helped, and we was cutting brush, and I was building, had a fire going, and we worked out there most of the day. And I came in a little bit. I had to get me a drink. And I come in the house, and I walked in. I'd been messing with the dozer. I'd been messing with the tractor. I'd been piling brush. I smelled like smoke. It was horrible. I was filthy. I was nasty. I was having a wonderful time. And I came in the house, and I said, I'm going to wash my hands. And I walked up to the sink and I washed my hands. I washed my face. I wanted to get me a drink of water and sit down for just a minute. And Tiffany says, whoa. She says, you've got something nasty on the back of your arm. I said, no, I don't. I can't. Where at? She goes, it's right back there. I said, I can't see it. She said, believe me, it's there. You're going to have to wash before you go sit down. And so I went and I washed. I couldn't see it, but I scrubbed it anyway. She said it was there. I believed her. And I come back and I said, did I get it? And she said, yeah, now you can sit in my furniture. Okay? Sometimes God has to expose things in our lives that we can't even see ourselves. Sometimes there's sin in our life. There's filth in my life that I don't see. And God will bring it out and He'll show it to you. And He'll say, looky here, this is an area in your life that you need to work on. This is something in your life that you need to be cleaning up. And He'll bring that out and He'll show it to us. When I was a little child, I very seldom looked at myself in the mirror. I don't know if you can't hardly imagine that, but I didn't care. I didn't care. I didn't go look in the mirror before I walked out the door when I was little. Now, when I got up to be a little bit bigger, I started to care. You know why? Because girls were pretty. That's exactly why. And I didn't want them to think I was ugly or stupid or whatever. So I'm going to look in the mirror. I want to make sure at that point that I don't have cereal on my face. Because mom is no longer going to spit shine me when I'm a teenager. So I start looking in the mirror. But when I was little, I didn't. I didn't want to look at myself. As young Christians, sometimes we don't look in the mirror. We're just tickled to death to be saved. You know what? We're just loving that God has saved us. And hey, I've got a father and we're going places and let's go. And I don't care that I've got all this stuff hanging off of me. I don't care that I've got all this sin in my life. And as a young Christian, you know what? There's a lot of times you see, well, this guy got saved here about 2 weeks ago and he's still got long hair and he's still smoking cigarettes and he's still doing this. Don't he look in the mirror? You know, he don't care. God hasn't shown it to him yet. He hasn't matured to the point where he wants to look in the mirror and say, am I being a good example as a Christian? Am I leading other people in the right path? Is God, am I being something that God would have me to be? And not looking in the mirror. As a young person, you know what? I still can't see behind my ears, but I still wash them every day. I told you about coming in the other day from cleaning up and how Tiffany told me about this stuff on the back of my arm, and she let me sit down at that point whenever I got cleaned up. God will clean us up in our lives. He's going to work on you a little bit at a time. He's not fixing to take you as soon as you're saved. He's not going to take a person, turn them upside down, shake them, run them through the washboard, and they come out sparkling, shining, perfect Christian. That's not the way it works. We have sin in our lives that needs to be washed. Sometimes our feet need to be washed from walking with the world. We get on the wrong path. We get off in the mud. I told this story once before. It's been years ago. But I went grabbing. Actually, first we was going to go white bass fishing. I don't think Tim's here tonight. Tim Campbell here. Tim Campbell going to take me white bass fishing. Me and my brother, and we're going to have a wonderful time. And we went, I don't like fish. I like to catch fish, and I like to eat fish. I don't like to fish. You understand what I'm saying? If I've been 5 minutes, and I ain't got a bite, I'm done. I want to pull them in. When they start coming in on bare hooks, I'm having a good time. When the grease gets hot, it's even better. But to sit there and fish, I don't. So we went fishing, and we was on the lake for quite a while, and we hadn't got no bites. We weren't doing no good. And my brother, which loves to fish and fishes all the time, decided, white bass ain't biting today. I've got grabbing poles in the truck. We're going to make a day out of this, so let's go grabbing. So off I follow my brother. My younger brother that loves me dearly. To where he says the suckers are. They weren't. No suckers there. But we're going down this path. Me and my brother. I think Tim was with us. Yep, Tim was with us. And we're going down this path. And we get off over here. And he says they're right down there. But we're up on this bluff. And he says, if we go down this way, it's a lot shorter. You've got to jump, but we can go around here, and it's a long ways around. I said, let's go this way. I'm getting very impatient. So I jumped, and whenever I landed, there was a crust about that thick on top of some very, very muddy, nasty stuff that was about waist deep to me. Okay? So when I come down off of there, I just sunk to about here. And Levi's up on the thing still. He said, Levi, go around the other way. I So not only did we not have any fish, now I'm muddy. And I had to wash, and it was early spring because the white bass are running usually in the early spring, and the river was cold, really cold. But I was filthy enough that I wanted to get in there and wash. And what happened was I got on the wrong path. In our Christian life, we will get on the wrong path. We will get in the mud, in the mire, in the clay, and we've got to get washed up. Sometimes it's not pleasant getting washed up. But we have to get washed up. And we get our feet on the wrong path. Sometimes we need to get our hands washed up. We get our hands dirty in this life. What are we doing in our day-to-day life? What's your hands touching? How do you treat other people? What's your hands doing when you don't think nobody else knows about? How are you dealing with people in business? Sometimes we need to get our mouth washed out. Maybe it's because we've got some rough language, filthy, needs to be washed. Maybe we've got some lies coming out of our mouth, and we need to have our mouth washed out. Maybe it's anger, rough words spoken instead of kindness. Maybe it's gossip that's coming out of your mouth. What's coming out of your mouth tonight? How clean is it? Sometimes we need to get our ears washed up. Inside your ears, outside your ears. What kind of music do we listen to? What kind of jokes do we laugh at? What kind of conversation are we drawn to? What kind of TV shows are we looking at and listening to? What are you hearing and seeing on your cell phone, on your Facebook, or whatever your social media that you love to listen to? I hear there's one of the one about a clock, a tick-tock or something. All kinds of them. Most of it's vile and filthy for the most part. So we need to get our ears washed up. What about our heart, our mind? You have bitterness in your heart. You have evil thoughts, grudging one another. What is it in your life tonight that needs to be washed up? Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 4. The Lord appeared to Abraham there before he went down to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the valleys there. And the Bible says that Abraham seen him coming from his tent door. He was sitting in his tent door. He said he seen the Lord coming, three men with him. He jumped up and he ran to him. In verse number 4 of chapter 18, Abraham said, "Let a little water, I pray, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree." Do we need to have a little water fetched tonight? Some wash water? I'm here to tell you tonight that you're not going to be able to sit down and rest until you've got washed up. Unless you let God take hold of you and wash you up. He may have to take that washcloth and work you over like a piece of sandpaper. Whatever it may be. But until you let God wash you up, you're not going to have any rest. Just like when I come into the house the other day, greasy and dirty, and the back of my arm was nasty. I couldn't see it. I didn't even know it was there. I thought I was clean. I had done been to the sink. Used soap and water. But until I got that off the back of my arm that she could see, but I couldn't see it, there wasn't no sitting down and resting. And until God cleans you up, until you allow God to point out these things in your life, whatever it may be tonight, and clean your life up, you're not going to have any rest. Not going to have any rest from God, You're not having rest from the world without cleansing. If you'll stand with me this evening as we close.